Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavalette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
Good evening, everyone, from Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. I'm Dick Lutzk, and it's time for another Holy Cross Coaches Show. And we've got the world's fastest hour of radio coming up for the next 60 minutes. We're going to talk a lot of Holy Cross sports. We're going to talk football with Coach Bob Chesney, Teddy Capsis, and Brett Boddy. We're going to talk volleyball with Melissa Beatty-Smooths, the coach of the volleyball team, and Katie Kierens and Kathleen Philo. And we're going to talk women's ice hockey with Peter Van Buskirk, Katie LaChapelle, and senior Julie Mathias, all coming up in the next 60 minutes on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. And here at Crossroads, the WEEI Street Team is here with some giveaways. Come on over and play the game of chance that they have, and you have an opportunity to win some nice prizes that will be a remembrance for tonight's Holy Cross Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. We're going to start talking football with Coach Bob Chesney. It's been the first show in a couple of weeks. We haven't been here since the Yale game, so we'll back up and talk about that game and the Dartmouth game of this past weekend. Let's go first to Yale. First win of your Holy Cross tenure must have felt pretty good.
Oh, it felt great. A great game. Not a great start, but I thought the way that our guys competed, the way they fought, the way they just kept believing in one another, and came back a monster fourth and 10, throw the ball in the end zone, end up with a chance to go to overtime, and then, watch Derek Ng, knock in a 45-yarder to win the game in overtime. It was certainly a great day, and I think a testament to just the toughness and the resiliency of this team.
Falling behind as they did, you might have thought that they might have had a letdown, feeling a little bit insecure about themselves at that point,
yeah.
But you kept saying that they were believing on the sideline. They never gave up hope.
Yeah, they never did. They really never did. And I thought that, again, the offensive line did a great job. The defense line did a great job. Jeff Wade had an unbelievable day and led us right back down the field and took some pretty tough situations and turned them into pretty good situations for us.
Three Crusaders that week were players of the week in the Patriot League. Jeff Wade was the offensive player of the week. Joe Lang was the defensive player of the week, the sophomore defensive back, and Derek Ng, the special teams player of the week for his winning field goal. Let's talk a little bit about each of those young men. First, quarterback Jeff Wade.
Yeah, great day, an unbelievable day. And I know we were in a little bit of a quarterback competition, and we went back and forth between the two throughout that game, and then he really did a great job and stepped up and just had a hot hand, and really found some things in the coverage, found some receivers open, and threw the ball down the field very effectively in some pretty tight windows, trusted the line and stood back there and delivered, and that was great to see.
You've been getting some great defensive play from a lot of guys, and Joe Lang, the sophomore cornerback, had a terrific game against Yale, and he was the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, Joe's done a great job, and I think we ask him to do quite a bit. We ask him to play some man coverage. We ask him to blitz. We ask him to help and stop the run. We ask him to cover half of the field. He does really just about everything, and he's been doing it very effectively as a sophomore. That's he's a very bright future, and he's not been playing like a sophomore very much.
Derek Ng, the game-winning field goal, the youngster from Las Vegas, a freshman. He said after the game, that's what he's here for. He shouldn't feel that whether he's a freshman or a senior. That's what you got him for, and he did his job.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, just do my job, and that was it. And I think we had a quick conversation on the sideline because it was to win the game, but if he did not make it, it wasn't to lose the game. And I think that was a moment where really I think we could all look back on and say, be excited for a chance to win. Don't think about the negatives. And there was really no negative in that situation, because he would have had a chance again to kick another game winner, I'm sure, in the second overtime. But just think positive, only think positive, and be excited to make the play. And that's exactly what he did at that moment. And that's something I think we all could, take with us moving forward.
You said something after that game during the week that stuck in my mind, that early in your career, you were coaching special teams and you learned a lot about kickers. Talk about that. What did you learn? How did you learn it?
Well, honestly, I think it was in 1999 or 2000 when I met my first coaching job ever. The coach said, "We all have special teams assignments. Yours is going to be the kickers and the punters." And I remember saying, "I don't know anything about kickers and punters." And he looked around the room and said, "I don't think any coach here does anyway. So just fake it pretty much." And I think, when I look back on that, I imagine that's how a lot of, the kicking specialists are just that, kicking specialists. They're usually not full-time, staff members on a coaching staff. So I think that was a good opportunity for me to try to diversify a little bit and say, this is something that I don't think a lot of people are overly excited about or interested in. Why don't I learn a little bit more about it? So I spent some time with some good coaches, and I also had the chance to read a book and start to train myself how to do it. And every day I'd go down for about a half hour, 45 minutes before our 6:30 staff meeting, and I'd read this book at night, highlight stuff, and get up in the morning and try it myself. And I thought, that was always interesting, and a way to then talk to our punters and our kickers about some things that I was doing, that maybe could help them.
You don't think about it a lot, but kicking field goals, punting, pinning the team deep, switching the field, really has a significant factor in the game from time to time, more often than not.
Well, no question. And if you get a chance to block a punt or do something like that, that certainly helps your team, with a short field. And we'll talk a little bit later about Bucknell, but they have a great one in their punter, coming up this week. So his ability to change the field is something that certainly exists in this and will be part of the challenge for this next week.
What did you learn about kicking? I mean, you read the book. What did it tell you? Did it tell you, was it fundamentals? Was it strategy?
Was it
psychology?
It was fundamentals, a little bit of psychology, but then it also had in there of different things, like if the flight of the ball starts to helicopter, maybe you're a little too tight on the ball and coming over the top of it on field goals, or just the different placement of where that plant foot should be if you're kicking off the ground compared to a half-inch block compared to a one-inch block, the difference on kickoffs and angle punts and backspin punts, all those things that you don't think a lot about that exist in that world.
It's an interesting aspect of the game, and probably not enough time is spent on it by a lot of people who watch the games and think about the games and how important that aspect of it is. One thing that jumped out at me after the game, as I was watching the team celebrate on the field, which was a great sight, I wasn't looking for it, but I happened to catch your dad coming over to you, give you a big hug.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, it's a great moment. I think we, try to connect at that level, after each of our games and in particular after wins. And I think we've shared a bunch of hugs in the past and excited to share a bunch more after wins here.
Well, what does it mean to get the first win under your belt? A little load off the shoulders and take a little pressure off of everybody?
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily the pressure. I think this is a process, and I think we all understand that. Each week we do our best throughout the week, and then when we get out there on Saturday, we hope that what we've done all week long, puts us in a position to be able to win that game. And I think, there's certain things that come into play. Sometimes you're a little bit outmanned. Sometimes you're, just a little bit off, that day or whatever it might be. And then sometimes there's times where you should win all those matchups and you don't, and I think those are always going to be, the consistency of how we go about every single day and then transferring that onto that football field on Saturday has to be paramount in this program right now. And I thought we had a good day of practice today, so I'm excited to see how this weekend plays out.
You said after the Yale game you went home and celebrated, and you watched your other kicker kick a field goal that won a game for LSU. That must have been exciting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, very exciting. Very exciting. He's doing a great job, and just, he's in the, as far as football fans there's not a bigger fan base, I don't think, than that LSU one. And being in the SEC, you could argue Alabama and maybe LSU. But I think that's probably two of the top ones. So to see him having the success he's having is cool.
You put Assumption on the map a little bit. That's nothing wrong with that. And you were telling me you were getting calls from national magazines about that kick.
Yeah, they had an article in Sports Illustrated on him. And then the LA Times was in there. They did a nice job for him.
Good stuff. All right. Then the Dartmouth game. You watched the film. What did you see?
So, I just felt, it wasn't what you necessarily saw on film. It's a lot of the things that you felt that day. We just got to come out a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and we have to be a little bit more excited to make plays. And I think at some point we're just out there a lot defensively. And I think, it tired us out a little bit, and we gave up two quick ones right before the half, which was never not a good thing. I think when you go back, though, to to answer the question, as you look at the film, we're close. You know, we're really close in a lot of situations. They need – it's fourth and one, and they get fourth and one and a half. You know, it's a third and three, and they get third and three and a half. You know, and we were not that far off. You know, and there were certain plays that stand in our out in our minds where maybe we blew a coverage or something. But there was a lot of other ones in there where we could have stopped drives, and we just came up a little bit short. And that's – now, you know, certainly hats off to Dartmouth. That's a great football team. Very, very much a senior-driven team. Seems like everybody on that team were seniors. And, you know, we're playing with a lot of young guys, and I think that they did a really nice job. I think that we just have to do a little bit better than nice if we want to beat a great team like that.
A lot
that.
Of young guys. I think you said, I think I saw 9 freshmen and 10 sophomores on your 2-deep coming for this week. So a lot of young guys are getting some valuable playing time.
Yes, valuable playing time. No doubt about it. I think that you'll have some bumps in the road, and there'll be some learning experiences, but it'll be just that. As long as we focus on it and concentrate on it, make some mistakes, hopefully not too expensive, you know, it'll just make us better, that much better in the future.
We mentioned the players of the week in the Yale game, and yet another player of the week, defensive player of the week, Ryan Brady, 17 tackles against Dartmouth, and he gets the honor this week. He's been playing terrific.
Terrific. You had him here last time on the radio show, and he just really has a good nose for the ball. He's a great leader and spends as much time on film as anybody out there, and I think that's he's prepared, he's ready, and then his instincts take over, and he can do quite a bit out there.
The NCAA says that Holy Cross has had the second toughest schedule in FCS football so far this year through the first 4 games. What does that mean to you in terms of your competition and how to stack up against them and going down the road, how it improves your team?
Yeah, well, I think it means it's a preparation, right? It's that every single thing we do, if we just take a playoff or a practice off or anything, it's going to come back and sort of bite you over the weekend. And I think, you know, that there's really no opportunity that we can miss right now. Every practice, every film session, every lift, everything we do, you know, really has to be done to a much higher standard than we've probably ever done before or than any other team in FCS has had to do up to this point in time. That's what that really does mean. And in that preparation, hopefully it's setting us up for, you know, more success as the road, you know, goes a little bit of a different direction.
Toughest schedule in FCS football so far this year belongs to Wagner. You've played 4 games. What have you learned about your football team through 4 games?
I think the resiliency piece is something that stands out. I think that we're starting to come together more as a team as well. I don't think we're there yet. I don't, you know, you think after the Yale game, you feel like you have had your identity and you were ready to run with it, and then we took a little bit of a step back. So I think that we're not 100% sure exactly where we're at right now. We know that there's more work to be done. But I think that there's been a lot of toughness and a lot of grit through those first 4 games that showed up. And I think if there's anything that we all, you know, could sort of be proud of, it's just that, the toughness and the you know, unwillingness to relent and to give up and to quit or do any of those things, which should never be the case. We just got to start faster. You know, we just have to start faster.
Falling behind is a difficult thing to do. In what areas do you need to improve on both sides of the ball?
I think it's that, right? I think we have to hold on to drives and you know, have a just better drives when it's said and done. I think this past week, you know, again, in the first half, it wasn't great. And then defensively, we got to get off the field. We both, you know, worked both ends of those things that need, you know, that where we're poor at both those things that we need to improve upon. The you know, the inability to get off the field defensively and the inability to stay on the field offensively leads to a one-sided half like you saw, 50-some plays to 18, you know, something that we were able to improve in the second half. But we can't start that way.
It's on to Bucknell, as someone once famously said, in a different way. But back to Patriot League play coming this Saturday, and those conference games are important.
Yeah, very important. And I think the first one we had gave us a taste of what the league is about, and we understand it's a very difficult league, a challenging league, and you know, the tough opponents all the way through. I think that you know, this is a good football team. I think they've played a lot of tough opponents, as have we, and I think they have a lot of bright spots. They have a lot of speed in their backfield. Their secondary last year, I think, was very high up in the nation as far as interceptions were concerned, and their pass defense was great. Their punter is, you know, you're going to get a chance to see that kid on Saturday. He's 74 yards, over 50-plus yard punts, you know, so that's changing the entire field, you know, and I think those are the things that, you know, you'll see from them. And I think for us, you know, we just have to continue to improve each and every week. Our young guys have to continue to step up, and our older guys got to continue to lead, and I'm excited to see that.
We're going to take a break. We'll bring up Teddy Capps and Brett Boddy in just a moment. This is homecoming weekend at Holy Cross. A lot of purple will be around Fit and Field. It's also Worcester Day, with Worcester residents receiving $5 tickets to the game with valid identification. In addition, the first 500 fans to enter Fit and Field will receive free Holy Cross socks, courtesy of Unibank. Everybody can use a pair of Holy Cross socks, I'm sure of that. We'll take a break.
Absolutely.
We'll come back with the Holy Cross Coaches Show. We are at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. Open to the public, by the way. Come on down and join us here. And we'd love to see you. The Coaches Show continues after this on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
From Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of Holy Cross in Worcester, I'm Dick Lutz. It's the Holy Cross Coaches Show until 9 o'clock tonight. We're talking football right now with Coach Bob Chesney, Brett Boddy, and Teddy Capps, a couple of linemen, one on the offense, one on the defense. And, Coach, three games in a row at home, that's a pretty good way to schedule the games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great start. I think that, you know, to have three in a row like that, obviously, after coming off the first two is you know, awesome for our fans, awesome for everybody involved. And again, homecoming this weekend, so hopefully, and Worcester Appreciation Day, so hopefully there's a great turnout, and I know that these guys will be ready.
Homecoming, talk about that for a minute and what you hope the fans will see.
Yeah, I hope they see us continue to improve in everything that we're doing. You know, I hope they continue to see our energy, I hope they continue to see our effort, and I hope they continue to see a better product each and every single week. You know, it's not easy to learn a whole new playbook offensively and defensively and then to come out here and perform against great teams like we've just played over the start. These guys have done an unbelievable job of handling that, but now we have to take that next step. And I think that's something that we're hoping to see this weekend.
Brett Boddy is a senior offensive lineman from Aurora, Illinois. He started every game this year after missing all of last year. You must have been chomping at the bit to get back at it this year.
Yeah, it was really great to get back. You know, missing all of last year with a back injury was brutal, sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, I really had to dedicate my entire life to getting my body and everything in order to be able to play football again. And it's great to be back.
How'd you handle the season, the last year of having to sit on the sidelines and you know, the psychological aspect of it? How'd you deal with it?
Well, I mean, my approach was really there's things you can control and things you can't control in life. I couldn't control that I couldn't play football for a year because I hurt my back, but I could control my approach going into the next season, and that's what I really devoted myself to and came back, and now we're back.
Felt pretty good to get out on the field, I'm sure. It went over Yale. Pretty exciting time for everybody, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
What was the mood like after the game? I know on the field, the partying, watching you guys celebrate was really a lot of fun from watching up top. It was great.
Yeah, a big thing was like winning a close game because that's something that we have not done in a long time. And coming off and, you know, coming down to the end and the conditioning and just looking across the line and knowing that the other team was exhausted and that you weren't and that you knew you were going to win the game the whole time and believing in yourself, it was just a great effort and just really speaks to how hard all of us have worked throughout camp.
Coach Chesney has been saying all along that you guys are in the best shape of anybody that you're going to face all year long. He's been putting you through it, hasn't he, huh? Which is a good thing. You guys are in pretty good shape. Better shape than you've been in the past, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it was practicing in the heat, too.
Oh,
so
boy.
We practice, you know, 2 o'clock every day, 3 o'clock every day on a black turf field. So, you know, sometimes that turf field is 120 degrees and we're going full up-tempo running around. I mean, when you get to the game, it's like, wow, in between drives, you can totally catch your breath and you feel brand new.
You threw the shot put a couple of years ago for Holy Cross. Tell me about that.
Oh, it was fun. I did it in high school. I was successful with it in high school, and I figured I might as well try it in the spring. And, you know, I haven't been able to do it as of late because of injuries, but, you know, it was a great time.
14th in the Patriot League in the shot put back in 2016. The only negative I see on your bio as I look at it is you're a Chicago Cubs fan. Do we accept that around here? Coach?
I think you have to. I think you're going to have to, yeah.
Huh?
I'm not telling them not to be one.
A Cubs fan. Majoring in economics, what do you hope to do with that degree when you get out?
I'm not really sure. I actually just decided to pick up a minor in physics, so I'm hoping I can, you know, apply both of those together to do something interesting, you know, math-related, but also, you know, not just boring number crunching. So,
Teddy Capps is a senior defensive lineman from East Williston, New York. You've had a great couple of years. Last couple of years, second-team All-Patriot League, piling up the tackles and the statistics, and it must be gratifying to get that first win under your belt against Yale this year.
Absolutely. I mean, especially after last year and how Yale went. you know, everyone knows that I went. But this year, how we came back and how we've kind of consistently come back, now to finally get one and coming back in that 20-point deficit, it was absolutely, you know, an absolute thriller for us.
Ranked fourth in the Patriot League with 6 sacks last year. All Patriot League honors as a junior. Caught a touchdown pass against Morgan State in 2016. I remember that play. Started 24 consecutive games along the defensive line since the third game of the sophomore year. You and Mark Ebo and Vorster and McArdle, you guys have been a tandem, a group playing together. You must get to know each other's moves pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing, you know, having four guys who just played a ton, kind of know what everyone's going to do on every single play. You know, if someone makes an inside move or someone makes any move, really, you know how to cover for him, or you know what he's going to do, you know where he's going to be. And that's like a really just a great thing to have, just having four guys you really can just trust and have absolute faith in.
Let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about the recruiting process that brought you to Holy Cross.
You know, I wasn't a really heavy recruited guy out of high school. I actually committed here pretty early my senior year. So I actually met Bill Samko, a former coach, and he just struck me as kind of your crazy uncle. And I found him to be this, you know, this really personal, this really honest guy. And when I took my visit here, you know, this campus was young. It was like everyone I met was just this really honest, like good people, kind of like how people were in my high school. So I was like really thrilled to kind of go into a program that was really similar to like people I'd always been with. And, you know, when I got here, I've never had any regrets.
Brett Boddy went to the same high school as Blaze Bell in Illinois. What was your recruiting process like?
Well, I initially found out about Holy Cross because of Blaze. And I started meeting with the recruiting coaches, you know. And coming out of high school, I was looking at a lot of the Ivy Leagues, a lot of the Patriot League schools. I was taking my visits my junior year. And Holy Cross really stood out. It was the only one that I visited. I felt like it was very welcoming. The team environment was unbelievable. Everyone was just like you, instant friends. And I committed really early. I committed in my the summer of my going into my senior year because I just loved Holy Cross.
Teddy Capps is a political science major. What do you hope to do with that degree?
You know, I've never been too great with econ. I gave it a try my freshman year and had it, you know, depart from the economics route. But political science was, you know, I think my second home, and I've loved it ever since. I find really just all, you know, current events around the world and current political systems very interesting. But I kind of hope to go more into a front office sales kind of position with it, just kind of, you know, getting to know, be able to write and be able to just kind of interact with people.
Coach Chesney, these guys embody everything good about Holy Cross. Tell me about them.
Well, I think they're great, and I think them being here today, you know, again, just speaks volumes of the line play that we've had up to this point in time. The stand back there as a quarterback and know that these guys have your back and that they're protecting you is, you know, is something we're seeing getting better and better and better every single week. That trust is building. You know, on the defensive line, the same thing. You know, Ryan Brady has a million tackles each and every game, and these guys may not be the ones that get noticed by it, but it's a lot of the things that they're doing up front. So I think that, you know, they just have to continue to improve and continue to do and, you know, do what as a team we're asking each other to do, but lead, right? These are two tough guys that play pretty tough positions, you know, that don't get a lot of the glory. And I think, you know, we're you know, that's our strong point of our teams right now, the offense and defensive line, and these are two of the best on those.
Saturday is homecoming at Fitton Field. The Crusaders face Bucknell. 1 o'clock game. Get your tickets today by calling the Holy Cross ticket office at 1-844-GO-CROSS or by visiting GoHolyCross.com. Guys, let's start with you, Brett. What do you think about the setup going back into Patriot League play and how you're looking at the rest of the season?
I'm really excited. I think we've had a challenging first four games. And that being said, going forward, I think we've learned a lot and we're ready to apply what we've learned to the next.
Teddy, what about you?
You know, we've played some real physical teams, especially, you know, Boston College was, you know, up-tempo power team, and Dartmouth and Yale both, you know, physical big teams. To kind of get into the Patriot League with that experience playing real physical teams, and, you know, and Bucknell is going to come at you with, you know, try to be some physical play. I think it's, you know, kind of a nice warm-up into, you know, league play where we now get to kind of show off our, you know, our abilities and our talents.
Homecoming should be a pretty good crowd in the stands, and it's always nice when you have that big group rooting for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd like to have a big crowd there on Saturday, Coach. Your thoughts about going into the Bucknell game, Coach Chesney?
I think exactly, just to reiterate what they were saying, is that, you know, you play a very challenging first half of that schedule, and you set it up to this moment, second toughest in FCS. There's good lessons in there. You know, there's some really good lessons in there that we've succeeded with and some things that we failed with, and the successes we have to continue to pile up. and those failures we have to learn from. And again, that's usually where some of your biggest growth and improvement comes from, is from failing. You know, so, you know, our record says it. We failed a little bit more than we've won up to this point in time. But, you know, hopefully we have an opportunity to turn that all around here as we move forward.
Homecoming Saturday against Bucknell at Fitton Field. Thanks to head coach Bob Chesney, to Brett Boddy, Teddy Capsis of the Holy Cross football team for joining us on the Holy Cross Coaches Show at Crossroads in the Hogan Center. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk volleyball. And a little later on, we're going to talk women's ice hockey. All ahead on the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
This is the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we are back at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the Holy Cross Coaches Show. I'm Dick Lutzk on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. And we will be talking volleyball for the next segment of the show. We're joined by Melissa Beatty-Smoos, the head coach in her fourth season as the coach of the Holy Cross volleyball team. Katie Kearns is here. She's a sophomore from Laguna Niguel, California. Did I say it correctly?
Niguel, close
Niguel,
enough.
All right. And we're also joined by Kathleen Philo, who is a sophomore from Rancho Santa Fe, California. A couple of California girls here joining us at the table. We'll start with Coach Beatty-Smoos. You played some Patriot League games this past weekend. You beat Colgate here 3-1. You went to West Point and lost a tough five-setter. Talk about your volleyball team and the start to the Patriot League season.
I think a great start to the season. We can't be more happy with Friday and beating Colgate for the first time since I've been here, and also starting out the conference with a win. I think definitely having a hard preseason helped us get ready for the Patriot League, which I scheduled a very tough preseason for us, but it slowed down the game for us. We were able to, you know, do some things that were great in the final last 5 points of the set, and really finish out there strong on the end.
Your resume is impressive with over 20 years of coaching volleyball. You've coached in the ACC, the Ivy League, the SEC, Conference USA, the Missouri Valley. You've made some interesting stops along the way, and you've been here at Holy Cross for 4 years. Where are the strengths in volleyball around the country? Are there particular pockets of area where there's some areas are stronger than others?
Yes, for sure. California is one of those. That's why we have two Californias sitting here. And I'm originally from California, so obviously true to my heart. But there's the pocket of the Midwest, Chicago area, Texas is coming along, and Florida are all pockets of great volleyball.
I told you before we came on the air that I was going to hit you with some volleyball terms that I
all
know.
Right.
In my bucket list of things that I wanted to accomplish before, I'm attempting to become a high school volleyball referee. And I took my test this past Sunday, my written test, and I passed it.
Okay, great.
So I've got to pass the floor test coming up.
You would pass to be our official. Stop that. I'm sorry.
I've learned a lot of the terms that I didn't know before. And I can tell you this, it's a much more complicated game than I realized.
Oh,
it
yes.
really is. I'm a softball official, and I'm a basketball official, and volleyball was the toughest test that I've had to take so far because of the intricacies of the game and the various rules, and it's really a fascinating game to get to know.
Yes, it is. A lot more than people think. We actually run plays, and you know there's a lot more to it with overlapping and positions and all that kind of stuff.
Some of the stuff I still need to learn, too. The overlapping thing has me confused very thoroughly.
I agree. Most officials struggle with that,
the rotation.
Let me ask you this one question. Tell me about the libero and your origin of it and what the libero is intended to accomplish.
I think since the libero came along, it has really upped our level of volleyball just as far as specializing in a position in the back court. We've always had specializing in the front court, but now it really takes a player that can pass and dig and be back there the majority of the game. So it's changed the game a lot in that sense to bring a lot more ball control, have more of a defensive game going on.
Katie Kearns is a middle hitter, outside hitter from Laguna Niguel, California. Tell me about your recruiting that brought you to Holy Cross.
Well, I was looking at a really academic school. Like, from the start, like, I knew I wanted to leave California, wanted to go to the East Coast, and I was looking at a lot of Ivy League schools, and Holy Cross just kind of came up, and it's just kind of been, like, the perfect fit for me because it's we still have great volleyball here. We have, it's D1. It's an amazing school, and it's just kind of everything fit perfectly in a nice little package for me here.
And Kathleen, tell me.
Very similar with the academics and playing volleyball at the highest level, wanting to do something different, get out of California for a little bit, try something new, and see what life has to have over here. And I've enjoyed every minute of it.
And see the snow. You like the snow, huh?
I love the snow.
Good.
Yes.
Good. It's coming. It'll be here before
coming.
Too long.
The leaves are already changing.
Now, you are a setter. Tell me what makes a good setter, what makes a good middle hitter, outside hitter. How do you set them apart?
Well, in a setter, it's like a quarterback of a football team. And there's a lot of things they have to bring to the table besides their skill. They have to be able to run the court. They have to have confidence. They have to have communication. They have to know who to set, when to set. They have to know what's happening on the other side of the court. So there's a lot going on for a setter if they're going to play at the highest level and be good at it than just setting a ball.
Is it a tough position to play?
It's a very tough position. It means everything. The teams that win are the teams with the best setters.
And the middle hitter, outside hitter, they're the ones that score the points, though, aren't they?
Yes, they do. But they can't score them without the setter.
That's correct. That is correct. So when you're recruiting, when you're looking at a player, how can you tell one that's going to be a good setter or one that's going to be a good hitter?
Well, I mean, they're definitely being a good hitter. Obviously, you need to be playing above the net. So the higher you're playing above the net, the more physical you are, the harder you can hit the ball. So there's a lot of different skill sets for a hitter versus a setter. You know, the game is getting so physical and a game is very dominated by the outside. But if you can pass, and Katie, we move back to the middle because this year we can pass and it makes have a very diverse offense, and people can't stop the middle in transition. And Katie's done really well this last week by hitting, you know, 520 kills. No errors, you know. I don't think you can ask better than that, you know.
That's pretty impressive. So. That is pretty impressive. One of the things that I've noticed in watching high school volleyball, as I have in my attempt to become an official, is how athletic the girls are. It's been very, very impressive. And I didn't know. I really did not know. But it's a very athletic game.
Yes. Very physical and athletic now.
What's the biggest teaching point from a coach at this level to ladies at this level? What do you try to get across?
Well, right now with the young team, what we're trying to get across is to believe that we can beat anybody we come up against, because, you know, we are fighting against, you know, trying to do something different that we haven't done in the Patriot League. And so I think biggest thing is being a great teammate, playing for one another, but also believing and then just following the game plan.
Let's go back to the win over Colgate and the loss to Army. Take the games one at a time. How did the win over Colgate come to be?
I think from besides we'll eliminate set one, but after that we really stayed disciplined and we followed the game plan, and then the girls just did a great job for fighting for one another and just all out playing. I mean, we were down in I forget which set, but and since I've been here, we've never finished out on top at the last 5 points being down. So that was a huge milestone for us to finish out 26-24 when we were down in the last 5 points. So I think we're starting to believe we need to have a little bit more confidence, and I think we're starting to be gel as a team, and we still have room to improve in that and really fight for one another.
Tough five-set loss at West Point, though.
That was really tough, yeah. But it was like, well fought by the team. I'm really proud of them. I think that volleyball is a game of momentum, and we really got kind of, I don't know how to say it in a nice way, but the officials really did not play in our favor. And they had a really bad call which swayed the momentum, and we were, you know, it just kind of was that momentum swayer, and they're good at home and they're obnoxious and all these things. So I think that, you know, we're going to get them at home for sure.
The notes that were given to me about the games at home, the Colgate game, is that you had a great home crowd following you and supporting you. The men's basketball team, the softball team was in the crowd. Support like that makes it really a lot of fun and gives you a little bit of extra incentive, doesn't it?
That really helped us for the first time. I think that's what kind of – helped us in the last 5 points of having that energy and feeding off the crowd, really celebrating for us, getting into the opponent's head. So for the first time, we had really home court advantage where other teams on the road have that. And they've had that fan support, and so it was really nice to have that. We hope we have it again this weekend. It really helps.
I'm giving the name of a couple of freshmen to ask you to talk about. Regan Wright.
Reagan Wright.
And Allie Barry.
She's a senior.
Allie's a senior.
Okay.
Jonna.
And let's see. Jonna Shamley.
Yep.
And let's see. Reagan Wright. And Sky Duval Santos.
Yes.
Tell me about those players.
You know, when we were recruiting them, they understand and knew that we needed to bring them in and that they were going to have to come in as a freshman and really impact this program. And I think that they're continuing to understand that jumping up to that next level is a whole nother level, and they're still working that out, and we haven't seen the best of them yet.
Back to the girls here. Kathleen, what's your major?
I'm an econ psych double major.
Econ psych double major. What do you hope to do?
I want to work on Wall Street and eventually own Wall Street, so that's what I'm headed for.
I'm all for it. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Got any hot tips for me at this point or right now or not yet, huh?
Not quite yet. We're working on it.
We'll talk later. Katie, what about you? What's your major?
I'm a history major.
And what do you hope to do?
I hope to be a teacher.
Great.
I want to teach high school.
What level? High school level. Mm-hmm. Coach, tell me about your players here. Tell me about Katie and Kathleen.
Katie and Kathleen, I mean, they're just fun to coach. Every day they come in with a smile on their face, ready to go. I mean, Katie, you know, I have to be the one that's always pulling her out and, like, telling her, okay, we need to rest you a little, and she's the energizer bunny. So, you know, she just jumps. I think she jumps more times when she's not jumping than when she's jumping. We're working on that. Save your jumps for when they're needed. But just – you know, they definitely help one another. They're roommates. Philo definitely has a good connection with Katie setting her. I think that helps being, you know, good roommates, and they make it fun to come to practice.
Bucknell and Lehigh coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Patriot League games, what about them?
So, you know, both teams will be ready for us, and we are definitely working on the game plan for this week. We think that the biggest thing for us this week that we're working on is our offense. If we just, you know, clean that up for us, I think that we're going to have huge success against Bucknell and Lehigh this weekend.
Where's the strength in the Patriot League?
The strength is American. They've always been the team to beat. They're always usually a top, like, 40 team, 60 team, somewhere in there in the country. So, you know, that's something that we definitely are striving for, but really the big thing for us this year is to be in the top four, make it to the Patriot League tournament. And we say on any given day, anybody could beat anyone in this league.
Kathleen, have you set goals for yourself prior to the start of the year?
I have. It's been a lot of the same thing, top four, all focusing on the process rather than just wanting to come in and win every single game. That's more what I like to do. But just staying true to the process and working on myself every single day to be the best teammate and player I can be. And end of the day, just make that tournament and win a championship, bring it home.
How about you, Katie?
I think pretty similar, just aim for the top, you know. I think, like, with this year and this group of girls, like, we definitely have it in us, and I can really feel it that, like, even starting this weekend, we can make it to the top four. Like, we can upset teams that don't expect us, so just really go for it, and I think we can get it there this year.
Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining
us.
It was nice to have everybody here. Melissa Beatty Smooth, the coach of the volleyball team, and Kathleen Philo and Katie Kearns of the volleyball team from Holy Cross joining us here at Crossroads at the Hogan Center. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with the coach and associate head coach and a player from the women's ice hockey team. That's next on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads at the Hogan Center on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
We now return to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI with your host, Dick Lutzk.
And we are at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross, and we're continuing with our Coaches Show, and we close out talking women's ice hockey with head coach Peter Van Buskirk, associate head coach Katie LaChapelle, and Julie Mathias, who was here last year with us on our coaches show as well. So she's a veteran. She knows what it's all about. And Peter Van Buskirk, a new year for the women's ice hockey team this year, and a lot of excitement surrounding this year because of the joining of Hockey East, it's got to be a real exciting time for everybody associated with the program.
No doubt about it, Dick. No doubt about it. Sometimes I think it really is happening, you know, and I thought it wouldn't happen for a while there. But, you know, thanks to the support of the school and Nate Pine and his group, we're heading into a challenge that we're excited about.
16-9-3 last year in Division I as an independent. You did win that game against Harvard, that Division I game against Harvard here at the Hart Center, which, again, was one of the more exciting moments of the year. What has to be done? What's the process to get a team ready for a change in conferences? Like, you've been an independent, now you're going into Hockey East. What's the process?
Well, I think the process is singled on doing as well as you possibly can what you're trying to do. So rather than look at the end product, we're looking at the step-by-step process that we have to follow in order to be as good as we can possibly be. And if we can take that as a formula and at the end of each game feel as if, hey, you know, we got some things to work on, but we did some really good things, and we can be positive in the direction we're going. Obviously, we know where we're going. We're going into one of the most prestigious and tight competitive leagues in women's hockey, so that's going to be a real challenge. And again, our win against Harvard last year certainly was the highlight of our season last year, but at the same time, it proves that overnight, in less than 24 hours, things can be turned around, and that's the nature of sports. So that was really an exciting a game for all of us, and certainly for our program as well.
Associate head coach Katie LaChapelle is an alumnus of the Hockey East, playing at Providence. So you know what's about to happen. You know what they're getting into. You know what the competition's going to be like. It's going to be a level above what they've been playing in the past couple of years. Are they ready for it?
Yeah, I think we're certainly ready for it. I was lucky enough to be at BU for 9 years, so got a good look of what Hockey East has really become over the last 9 years. And I think the attitude's there from our players of what we can do at the next level. And so we're excited to see once we get out there and get ourselves going. I think we're all just excited to see. I think it's a little bit of an unknown. None of us are really sure how it's probably going to go. So we're excited to get out there and play some more games with, you know, adding on to those Division I games we played last year. But getting into league play and seeing what we can do.
What's it been like on the road recruiting and talking to kids about coming to Holy Cross and now playing in Hockey East?
Yeah. I think there's a great buzz. Hockey East is a great league. And obviously the academics here and the school here and just the way the school is set up, I think it's something that's very appealing to young women. So we've been pretty lucky, I think, and fortunate, with what we've got come in and who we've got coming in the next few years. So there's been a good buzz about us going into Hockey East.
Julie Mathias is a senior from Thornton, Colorado. In hockey, they talk about the room, the where everybody, the dressing room, so-called. What's the buzz like in the room at Holy Cross about going into Hockey East?
I think we're definitely all very excited, and the excitement is the only word I can think of. Us seniors, we've waited 3 years now for this opportunity, and the freshmen are stepping up and ready to play an important role on our team as well.
Are you ready?
I am.
Yeah. Peter, is the team ready for it?
Well, we're working pretty hard in that direction. It takes some time, as you know, but we're following, a process, and we've got a plan, and we're working that plan. Let's put it that way.
Well, what are the challenges that you'll face, that the team will face this year stepping up to Hockey East?
Well, overall speed, consistent speed of our opponents, and then the execution of the fundamentals at that speed. We did get a look at that speed last year, which I think has been helpful. This is going to be a different year because every game, is really against opponents who have been at the D1 level for a while now, from as high as BC to, as low as some of the teams that haven't been as successful over the last few years, but still have been at that level. So it's like anything else. We were able to get into the low part of the ocean at the beginning last year, and now we want to get a little bit deeper and do some actual swimming in that conference. So I think it's going to take some time. But half the battle is having the attitude that the kids have and the excitement that they have and the realization that they have, that they know that they have to play, focused more mentally, and then certainly be ready to execute physically as well. So I think those things working together hand in hand and us supporting them in that direction is going to reap some benefits.
Season sneaking up on us right away. You played RIT in Rochester this weekend already, the Friday and Saturday night. It didn't take long for the season to come along, did it? It seems like hockey starts really quick. Is the team ready to play?
Yeah, we're ready to play. I think everybody's really excited to just kind of get out there and get going. We've been trying to shove a lot of things in the short practices, and you know, the first couple weeks we're worried about them making sure everything's, you know, doing well with school and they're not overwhelmed. So just the last week and a half, we've just kind of been putting everything we can. So I'm sure they'll be excited to not hear our voices come Friday, and they can just get out there and play.
Played RIT twice last year, tied once and lost once. What's changed going into this year?
I just think we've got a little bit, you know, more experience now with having those D1 games, and you know players like Julie, you know, seniors, and kind of had that taste of it last year, and so now's a real deal. Now we're in it, and it's not just us playing at a different level and playing up and hoping we get a win. Now we're here, and we want to kind of make some noise and make people realize that that we're ready for this.
Julian Mathias is a senior, as I mentioned. He's a captain. Last year, 11 goals, 15 assists, 26 points, plus 24 on ice, which is very impressive. That's an impressive number. They had the game-winning goal against Harvard, scored both goals in the game, 2 goals and 3 assists on power plays. Majoring in math, and you want to go into medicine. That's pretty impressive, too. And how do you manage your time? I think I asked you that last year. When you're a math major, you want to go into medicine, and you play a varsity sport at Holy Cross. How do you do it?
That's a great question. I think it's more like just finding the small little gaps in your schedule and being able to, like, realize, okay, I have 3 hours. Like, probably shouldn't go mess around and hang out with friends. Got to sit down and study so I can be ready to go to bed early tonight and prepare for the next day.
Peter, tell me about Julie.
Well, Julie's been a staple of our program since she came here. I can remember recruiting her and hoping that, you know, she would decide upon coming. She had some other interests, obviously, but she's a grinder, and she has some skill in close. I refer to in the Boston Bruins that
Terry
I
referred
to? Terry O'Reilly. Terry O'Reilly, type wow. Of yeah, she can get her nose in there and at the same time, you know, have that poise with the puck in close, and she's done that throughout her career with us. So she's been a blessing, you know, for our program, and she's a heck of a leader, and the kids kind of feed off her energy out there as well.
You got senior captains Torrey Messina, Sam Girard, and Julie Mathias. Tell me about Torrey and Sam as well. I know they've both been on the program last year.
Well, yes. Torrey, of course, was Defensive Player of the Year in the league that we were in last year, and she's always one that's been a regular player for us since she arrived. She perfected her game a little bit even more last year. She has a terrific shot, and she uses that as often as she possibly can. She is suffering through an injury that required an operation later last season, so she won't be ready really for actual play and for another few weeks. And Sam, at the same time, too, has been a mainstay and a power forward for us. She's a really all-around great athlete. She's also going through some physical ailments of the past and hoping to shed some of those. But, you know, they've all been staples of our program. So all of them are leaders in the program on and off the ice. And hopefully they'll all be physically ready to play and have a terrific year for us.
First 6 games on the road, Katie.
Yeah.
Tough way to start. You'll get to know a little bit about your team in those first 6 games, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think going on the road is always fun, having some road trips. In Hockey East, we don't have a lot of overnights, so I think having these this first overnight here and then RPI the next weekend, I think is going to be good for us to just get out there and bond. But I think you get to go away from school. And they can do their homework when they have time, but just to get away, I think, off campus and have less distraction, I think, is a good thing for us at the start of the season.
It's an interesting point because it's been made before by other coaches I've talked to that getting on the road is a good thing because of the bonding. You get to know the players, especially the younger players coming in that you're getting to play with for the first time. Julie, do you find that to be true?
Yeah, I completely agree. The accelerated start definitely helps you get to know one another a lot more. Like my freshman year, we didn't start games until I think October 31st, so you like just practice with these girls but didn't really know them. But right now we're getting ready to go to battle with each other, so we definitely are a lot closer.
play Brown at home. First home game is October 20th against Brown here at the Hart Center. And I know the crowds were building up last year, and now that you're in Hockey East, I suspect there'll be a little bit more interest and fan support.
Well, I expect that, too. We've got a nice venue to make sure that the numbers are maybe bigger than you think they are, but along with the schools being so close and the rivalries of the schools being as they are and as they have been, I think it's going to increase certainly the numbers of people who come. And again, our first home game is against Brown, and our first Hockey East opener is against BC.
Here it is.
Who's ranked number four in the country this year. So it's just an exciting time. You know, you really rarely do you get a chance to play in a league with such named schools and such caliber players. And it really picks you up, I think, as an athlete when you look at that, and it wants you to make sure that helps you to make sure that you're prepared and you're not thinking about it at the last minute. I mean, it's hard through the rigor that they have here to focus always on being, you know, ready and spending the time to do that because you've got, you know, other pressures on you. But, you know, being in the league and the way our practices have been going to get them to the essence of what we have to do on a day-to-day basis, you know, to touch the essence of what we have to do on the ice and then build upon that, you know, it's been really a plus. So we're excited. That's all I can say.
Katie, where is the strength in Hockey East? The usual suspects, BC,
yeah.
BU, Providence, Northeastern.
Yeah, Maine should be pretty good this year as well. So
UNH,
yeah.
Connecticut. I mean,
I know.
It doesn't end.
Well, you had UConn number two, you know, knocked off Providence. UConn, next to last
seven,
last
yeah.
year, seven. They knocked off Providence College number two last year in the playoffs. So it's that tight a league. So we're really thankful. But the good thing is that it's so close to home. You know, that circle of teams is so close to home. It's we'll have less travel this year than we've ever done, I think.
As you look at the season, do you have expectations? Have you set expectations for your first year in Hockey East? It's probably hard because you don't know what to expect from your team. But against that competition, have you set goals?
Well, our first goal is to try in the first game to play a perfect game, Dick. You know, that's what
that'll be the first time ever.
Knowing full well we can't, but if we strive for that, we're going to get closer and closer to that. So we're taking it game by game right now.
I wish you the best. Good luck. It should be an interesting season. Hockey East and Holy Cross Hockey, the Lady Crusaders against the best competition in the country, and it should be a fun time to be a Holy Cross women's hockey fan.
Thanks, Dick.
Good
we
luck
think
to you
so
all.
Too.
Peter
Thank
Van Busker,
you.
Katie LaChapelle, and Julie Mathias. Men's soccer just upset number 16, UMass Lowell, 2-1, I'm told. Congratulations to the Holy Cross men's soccer team. And I want to remind you that you can get hockey tickets, ice hockey for the men's and women's. Now on sale. Don't miss any of the action at the Hart Center this season. Men's tickets start at just $45. Women's tickets just $20. Get yours today. Call 1-844-GO-CROSS or visit GoHolyCross.com. Thanks to our producer at Sports Radio 1440 WEEI, Kyle Carter, and our producers here on Facebook Live. They did a great job, everybody. Thanks for being here at Crossroads at the Hogan Center. On the campus of the College of the Holy Cross for the Holy Cross Coaches Show. We're back again next Tuesday. I'm Dick Lutz. Thanks for listening and good night.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.